I've been going to Kenya since 2013 to minister over there. And in preparing this time, I was seeking the Lord about what I might share. You know, they didn't give me any direction. Now, usually when I go, to be honest, they tell me kind of a theme. They either have a theme for the conference or something they're pressing toward. But this year it was kind of open. And so I began just seeking the Lord and asking the Lord, you know, what the Lord might want to do. And so before I arrived there, I knew the Lord had given me several messages. And really, the Lord sent me with an assignment. And this is what he told me. He said, when you go, I want you to build their faith and recharge their faith. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith. It's all about faith, you know. And so what's really wonderful is I went over there preparing my heart, looking at some things that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share. And when we got into the opening session, first day of the conference, the bishop of all of the churches got up to open up the conference, and he said this to the people. He said, I just want to remind you what our church theme, the thrust that we're pursuing God in this year, he said, is fearless courage and bold faith. Hallelujah. So my first two messages were about eliminating fear and living fearless. God had already prepared me. But I just was reminded, you know, as I was going over there, this thing about faith, this life about faith, this life that we have with God, it's a life of faith. I'm very thankful that recently Pastor Chaz has been preaching a lot, weeks upon weeks, about faith. Because faith is how we connect with God. This is a faith life that we have with God. And we need to know faith and understand faith so that we can grow our faith and apply our faith and use our faith and increase our faith. You know, faith is a substance, the Bible says. Now, faith is the substance. Faith is real. It's tangible. And we have to know about faith and how to use faith. We have a book in the bookstore by a wonderful minister called Wayne Myers. I think he's in his late 90s now. And a wonderful man. It's called Living Beyond the Possible. Only a faith person can live beyond the possible. Because it is faith in God, faith in God's word, faith in God's spirit that allows us to bring the impossible into the realm of the possible. This is a really good book. This is primarily about money, actually. Primarily about living in this earth, in the money realm with God. And it's just, this will blow your socks off. I mean, this will cause you to be stretched. It's a really great book. If you've not gotten it out of the bookstore yet, you ought to do that. But the reason I brought it up today was Brother Myers has a quote I like. I like to read it. I like to read it often because I'm always reminded I have to keep my own faith stirred up. And he said this. He said, faith is dead to doubts. Faith is dumb to discouragement. Faith is blind to impossibilities. And faith knows nothing but success. You want a successful life? How many of you would like a successful life? Come on. It's based in a life of faith in God, living faith, live faith, Bible faith. Faith that causes you to do radical things, that causes you to move outside the realm of what we conceive and understand in our own reasoning or logical mind. Then he goes on to say that everything that we need is available through the currency of faith. Everything you have need of is available through faith. There's not one thing that you might want, desire, need that is outside the realm of faith in God. Because when God put us in this life with him, he took care of everything in our life. And so he goes on to say this. He said, because everything that we need is available through the currency of faith, we need to keep our faith bank full. We need to keep our faith bank full. We need to constantly be stirring ourselves up in faith, recharging ourselves up in faith. This is a great life that we have with God by faith. I remember I've told this story. Maybe you'll remember it. It's a great story. A minister friend of mine, he's a personal friend of mine. He's personally told me this story. Many years ago, he was at Bible school, and at Bible school, they had prayer meetings. They had healing meetings. And at this particular time, he had been assigned to assist in the healing meeting. And so I think they had the healing meetings several days of the week, and he would go, and he loved the meetings. But he said one day they had just that wow meeting. I mean, it was like a wow meeting. He said the things that God did, the miracles were just outstanding. He said he was so overwhelmed just when he was thinking about what God was doing to watch God move upon people in such a powerful, in a profound way. He said he was overwhelmed, and it really just, it stirred him up and it fired him up just to see the wonder and the power of God. And so he came out of the meeting really just in awe. And he said as soon as he got out of the meeting, he fell to his knees and he lifted up his hands and he just began to thank God. And he was like, wow, God, this is just so exciting to see what you've done. And he said this to the Lord. He said, Lord, I want to live an exciting life. See, he was stirred up by something he saw in God. He was stirred up by this kingdom life that he saw, God in demonstration, God in glory. And he said, Lord, I want to live an exciting life. And he said the Lord spoke to him. Now, he told me this. He said, if I've ever heard the voice of the Lord, it was in this moment. He said it was so clear and so distinct what the Lord said in my reply to, Lord, I want to live an exciting life. This is what the Lord said. He said the exciting life is the life of faith. The exciting life is the life of faith. Stop looking for exciting stuff all in other places. The exciting life, the thing that's going to stir your heart, the thing that's going to just make you like, wow, every day in life is the life of faith. Because life is how we connect with God. Life is how we grow with God. Life is how we pull the impossibilities into the realm of possible. It's a life of faith that we're after. And so we are constantly building and strengthening and encouraging our life in the Lord because we want to grow in faith. Look at your neighbor and say, I want an exciting life. Look at your other neighbor and say, so I'm building my life of faith. Hallelujah. So in the conference, on day two of the conference, day one at the end, the pastor actually got up and said that we were going to have a healing day on day two. And so I said, well, you know, they're the pastor, and so I'm going to come up under that. And so day two, we spent all day in the healing power of God. Started at 9:00 in the morning. I think we ended at 5 that day. Just spent all kinds of time building our faith. And we just saw God move. God was so good to move upon his people, to help his people, to heal his people. At the end of the day, I asked all the people, I said, how many of you there today in some way, sometime, have experienced something of God where you can say that you know without a shadow of a doubt that something has happened in your body, that you have come in a different place, you've either received all of your healing or some measure, and the hands that went up across the room, I have a picture of it actually. So many hands across the room went up of people experiencing the power of God. What were we doing that day? We were building our faith in Jesus the healer. Jesus is the healer. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil. So Jesus had something on him. He had an anointing. He had a grace. He had an ability from God. Number one, to do good. Don't forget that part of your ministry is just doing good to people. Don't ever minimize just doing good to people, caring about people, loving them, being kind to them, assisting them. That's an anointing from heaven. That's a ministry from heaven. Heaven, my husband calls it one anothering. We're called to one another just with the goodness of God. I like that. But Jesus had something upon him to heal people, to help people, to cause people to get well. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 said that Jesus was going about in all of the cities and all of the synagogues, and he was teaching, preaching, and healing all manners of sickness and all manners of diseases. So we see that the ministry of Jesus is healing. And part of our faith has to be connected to the healing power of God. Not just the healing power that we see in the book, in the example, in the Bibles. Praise God for those. Yes, those are good. They're testimonies. They help us. But we have to be reminded that Jesus, the healer in the Bible, is still Jesus, the healer today. Isn't that what Hebrews 13:8 says? That Jesus is the, he's what? When? And when? Jesus is the same. Hallelujah. And that means if he was healing then, which we see it, he's still healing today. Hallelujah. And he can heal you at any time of anything, every disease, every sickness. Come on, church. We got to build our faith in this. This is how we get miracles. This is how we see healing power on the scene. It's not just because God said it and wants it, which he does. He did say that we're to know the exceeding greatness of his power that is toward us. Not withheld from us, not far from us. But the exceeding greatness of his power that is toward us, he said. We're supposed to know that. God wants us to know that. But how do we know it? By faith. How do we receive it? By faith. How do we tap into it? By faith. And I'm talking about faith for me and faith for you. Not just faith for somebody else, but faith for yourself. Above all, what does God want? Above all, 3 John 2, what does it say above all? God wishes that you would prosper and what? It's God's will that you be healthy. It's God's will that everybody in Kenya be healthy. And so that's when I go into any meeting, just like today, I'm looking around and I'm thinking it's God's will for every single person in this room, every single person to be healed of any disease, any sickness, everything. That's God's desire. And I'm hooked in. Hallelujah. So we're building faith. We're building faith in the name of Jesus. That there's power in the name. Didn't we just sing about what a powerful name? Doesn't Philippians 2:11 tell us that God has given Jesus a name that is above every name? Hallelujah. He's given Jesus a name that is above every name. That name, what it did through Jesus when he was walking in the earth, is still what it will do today in the earth through his name. Through a believer believing in the name, the same thing can happen. Jesus' name is above every sickness. It's above every sickness. The name of Jesus is more powerful than any sickness if we can believe. To those who can believe, all things are possible. Every healing is possible. Your body being made well is possible. Going past your family history is possible. Going past what the doctor's report says and that there's no cure is possible in the name of Jesus if we believe. I believe. I believe that the name of Jesus is above every name. This is what we were doing at the conference, building our faith in the healing power of God. Wonderful things were going on. Here's a testimony. I had had a call actually for, I had a call for spines, things that were wrong with people's spines. And I also heard the word scoliosis. And so I kept hearing the word scoliosis. That'll come about later today as I testify here. But I had several people come up, four people come up with spine issues. One lady's spine got completely well. She had a curvature of the spine straightened up, praise God. Had several other people that came up for backs at that time. Translation makes it a little difficult, spines, backs. But anyway, they were up there, and so I ministered to them too. And I stepped in front of this particular lady. Now, she had come up to have her back healed. And so we'd already been getting good results. Most of the people there, pain were leaving. You know, they were being able to testify that something had happened in the realm of healing for them. But when I got to this particular lady, I failed to put my hand upon her head. Now, I'm ministering for her back. It was a specific call from the Lord. So in that moment, now listen, I'm trying to try to help you be skillful here. We all need to be more skillful in receiving healing, but also administering healing. Because the Bible didn't say that only the preachers would lay hands on the sick. He said that every believer would lay hands on the sick. And so everyone sitting here today ought to believe in the healing power of God and that power will flow through you. And so we do purpose ourselves toward being skillful. And so when the Lord has a specific call about a specific something, a back, scoliosis, whatever it may be, there's a particular divine grace in that moment for that particular thing. That doesn't mean that God is not able to heal other things, but in that moment, there's a specific flow that comes to deal with that. And so I was stepped in front of this lady to minister to her back, But I just felt to put my hand on her head. Now, when I put my hand on her head, you know, many times, not all times, but sometimes we can sense the power of God go out of us and in and into the person. But this time when I put my hand on her head, the power of God went specifically in my hand and went specifically in her head. And what it felt like to me was fire, but I knew that it was in her head. The anointing, the healing power of God was going to her head. And so I'm standing there, and I'm not wanting to remove my hand because the power's present. But spiritually, I'm thinking something with her head. But she was up for her back. But I kept my hand there. The power is in her head. It's going in her head. It's like I sense fire in her head. And so finally, I just asked her. I said, do you have something wrong with your head? And she said, yes, right here. What was exactly where my hand was. Hallelujah. Her testimony was that when I called out backs, she knew she had something wrong with her head and wanted her head healed. But she's like, well, Lord, I don't know. You know, maybe my head will get healed later. I'll just go for my back. But in that moment, the healing power of God just identified what she needed. And when she left that line, her back was not only well, but her head was well too. Yeah, God is so good. He's so good. He will do exceedingly abundantly above all. It really is just about believing. Many times when people come up, you know, just open yourself up to whatever. You might need something that you don't even know you need. Don't limit yourself. Come up expecting and believing. If it's a specific call, yes, I'm in line for that. But open yourself up and let God do a complete work from the very top of your head to the very soles of your feet. Do you believe God can do that? Hallelujah. He did it. He did it. I saw him do it in Kenya. He was so, so good to all the people. All right. So let me tell you about the next report here. There was a girl that came up. She was actually one of the singers on the worship team. And she came up and I was dealing with her about her asthma. And as I was ministering to her toward the end, I think she fell out on the floor. You know, sometimes the power of God puts us under. That's fine. But I felt... what came up to me was, run. I want you to run. And so I just released that simple instruction and I went on and I was ministering to other people. Well, I didn't really know what happened to her. I wasn't sure. I knew that the instruction came from the Lord, but I didn't really know what was happening to her. So at lunch that day, I was sitting there and the Lord brought her to my attention. And he said, I need her to run. She didn't run. See, sometimes the Lord gives you an instruction. Or the minister gives you an instruction. And the release of power is in that instruction. Matthew chapter 12, verse 13, Jesus was dealing with a man that had a lame hand. And he didn't just pray for the man and nothing. He said, he told the man to stretch forth his hand. And it was as the man began to do what Jesus said, stretch forth his hand, that his hand got well. You remember the story of the lepers, right? They came to Jesus, wanted to be well. What did Jesus say? He said, go show yourself to the priest. And it says, as they went, as they obeyed the instruction, they were cleansed. Remember? So the Lord just said to me, I need her to run. And so in the very next session that I was up, I asked for the girl that had asthma, and she got up out of her chair, and by this time, we were kind of in a, you know, things get rolling. I mean, the more you stay pressing into God, the more things get happening. Come on, the greater the power gets, the greater the glory gets. And so she got up, and she was coming up, and she would get from about here to there, and she would fall over. She the anointing would hit her and she would fall over. So I couldn't get to her to give her the instruction again. She would fall over. And so I'd move on and do something else. And then I'd call her again and she'd come up and she'd look at me and she'd start and then she'd fall over again. But finally I told her, I was able to tell her, no, I need you to run. And you know what happened? She took off running. She ran down the thing and down and down the thing. I said, do it again. And she ran down the thing down and come back. And guess what? She'd never been able to run like that before without getting completely out of breath. The healing was in the instruction for her. Even though the power was present, there was something about her connecting with the instruction of what God has said done to do. Many times God gives us instructions. And sometimes they don't seem like a profound instruction. Sometimes I've had the instruction. I remember one time I was believing God to be healed for something, and I was kind of seeking the Holy Spirit, you know, many pathways to healing. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? And I kind of sensed that I maybe needed to read my Bible, but I didn't really know. And so I kept asking the Lord, you know, do you want me to have somebody lay hands on me? You know, what do you want me to do? You want me to confess a bunch of scripture? But I just kept hearing a sense to read my Bible. Well, when I finally stopped and obeyed, just reading my Bible, I got totally well. Just an instruction. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He leads us and guides us into the path of healing. And so that girl got totally well of her asthma. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't we happy for the people in Kenya? You know, part of a life of faith is that we rejoice for other people. Sometimes in our own rejoicing for other people, as we pray for others, we get our healing. Come on, as we pray for others, we get our answer. As we rejoice for others, things come. God shows up, turns things around. So remember in session one, I told you that I had called up spines. And as I was dealing with people with spines, I kept saying, who has scoliosis? I keep hearing the word scoliosis. Well, nobody responded. The whole session, nobody. I had four people up for spines. Nobody said anything about scoliosis. But in the second session after lunch, I was ministering into a line of people. And all of a sudden, I stepped in front of this lady, and she had a packet with her, a manila envelope. And she'd pulled out something, and it looked like film, big sheets of film. That's what it looked like to me. And so I stepped in front of her, and she's got these big sheets of film. Of course, I can't see anything. They're just totally dark to me. And I'm saying, what is this? And she said to me, she said, my daughter has scoliosis. Now, she was not in the first meeting. She said she had gotten up that morning and had intended to come to the first meeting but couldn't make it, but had pressed through to get to the second meeting. And she had come up. She had no idea that all morning long I'd been like, who is it with scoliosis? Who has scoliosis? Her testimony is that the night before her daughter, who is in college but has very bad scoliosis, she sat with the Lord praying. And she said, Lord, I just believe that tomorrow there's going to be a divine moment for my daughter to get healed of scoliosis. Well, guess what? God heard her prayer. I'm sure she'd asked before. I'm sure this is not a first time. Don't you give up. You keep pressing in. You keep praying. You keep believing, you keep expecting. And you never know when your divine moment is right around the corner. Don't give up. Don't let the devil talk you out of, oh, well, people prayed for you before, nothing happened. It's not going to work this time. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. You stay pressed in. You have to know what God wants to do. Who in here this morning right now deals with asthma? Who deals with asthma? Come on. Who deals with asthma? Who deals with asthma? Him? Okay. Anybody else deal with asthma? Anybody else here in the room? Listen, if you have asthma, don't come tell me later I got asthma. No, this is a moment. See, this is what happens in the moment. There's something that comes from God in a moment. I didn't just think, oh, well, maybe I'll just call out asthma. No, there's a grace right here in this moment, an anointing in this moment for asthma. If you deal with asthma, you need to be thinking, this is me. This is it. This is my divine moment. I'm getting rid of it. Asthma is leaving me and never coming back. Hallelujah. So we have one there, one there. Anybody else that's got asthma? If you would you just stand up? I'm not going to ask you to come forward. Just stand up if you deal with asthma. Just stand up right now. Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Hallelujah. Pray. Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate that. See you, sir. Thank you. Right now. Is it your son? All right. Praise the Lord. Is it your son? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Put your hand right here. Just put your hand right here. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke asthma. Go! Go! Take a deep breath. A very deep breath. Take a very deep breath. And exhale. Take a very deep breath. And exhale. Take a very deep breath. And say, thank you, Jesus, I'm well. Hallelujah. Now listen, you testify. You test yourself out. Praise the Lord. You test yourself out at some time and come back to testify. But praise the Lord, that day, now I didn't get to pray for the daughter herself, but I was connected with God through faith because he'd already called out scoliosis. So I'm fully expecting that mother is going to come back with a good report for her daughter. But I just want you to know that you can't ever give up on God. You have to stay pressed in. You have to stay praying. You have to keep believing. Faith and patience. Sometimes there's things we have to work out in our faith. Sometimes we have some subtle doubts. Sometimes we have some things that we haven't quite worked out in our belief system. Maybe our head believes it sometimes, but our heart hasn't really grasped onto the fact that Jesus is still the healer and he will heal you. He will absolutely heal you. He'll heal you every single time he'll do it because that's who he is and that is what he does. Hallelujah. I had another lady that had come up. At some point, I had just opened up the altar for dealing with different people that had different things that they needed to be healed of. And this lady came up and she had a lump on the right side, kind of underneath her armpit. Wasn't huge, but I could definitely feel it. You know, she had her hand on it. Praise the Lord. And so I began to minister to her. Now, what happened for me, I'm going to tell you my side. I don't really know on her side. But what happened for me was I put my hand on her. I knew that power went in her and I could feel the lump. I could feel something change in it. So I took my hand off and I said to her, now I want you to feel if the lump was there. Now, this was my perception. When she went to feel for the lump, she was looking for the lump and I felt the lump adjust back in the spirit. You can't be looking at your problem and Jesus at the same time. And this is what we do many times. We're believing Jesus, but our focus is so intent on the problem, the how our body feels. Healing doesn't come like that. Healing comes by looking at Jesus fully. And so what I said to her is I told her, I said, hey, look at me, look at me. I put my hand back on her. I ministered to her. And then I told her to go sit down. Because I knew if I could get her to sit down, there was so much other stuff going on. I didn't tell her to check herself again right then. I just said, go sit down. And I said, by the end of service, that lump will be completely dissolved. It'll be completely gone. Because I needed her to keep her mind off of that lump. The lump, is it there? Is it? Many times us looking for the lump is the thing that gives it the right to stay there. We look for Jesus. And so she sat down and all kind of stuff was going on, people being ministered to, the healing power of God. And then at some point, the Lord prompted me. And I said, where's the lady that had the lump? And I'm gonna forget, she was sitting pretty far in the back. And she raised her hand up and I said, is your lump gone? And she said, absolutely. All her lump had dissolved. Just sitting right there in the power of the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord. God is good. He's the healer. He loves us. He's going to help us. He's going to heal us. He wants you to run your race. He wants you to fully run your race in good health. He's still the healer. And I want you to know that the thing that people say that miracles only happen overseas, that's just not true. How many of you here can testify that at some point you've been healed of something by being at Houston Faith Church? Look at all the hands here. Look at all the hands here. A testimony to God, but a testimony that faith works anywhere at any time for all people. What does make the difference is when people are desperate. See, what I find overseas sometimes is that they don't have quite the same easy access to doctors. Nothing wrong with doctors. Just telling you something. They don't have the same access to doctors. They don't have the same access to medications. So when they come to a meeting and they find out it's a healing meeting, it's like, this is it. They're not looking, well, I can stay okay by taking some medicine or whatever it may be. I'm just telling you that at some point, if you want to be healed by God, if you want to get off the medication, you can. I'm not condemning any medication. But I'm just saying that there is healing available from God. For every single thing, for arthritis, for diabetes, for high blood pressure. I was in a meeting one time in Trinidad, and a guy that was working with us, he was one of the leaders at the church, he was working with us very extensively, came in, said he almost missed the meeting because he had high blood pressure. He was on medication for high blood pressure, took blood pressure medicine every day, and at that particular day, he'd had kind of a flare-up, and it was really, really, really high, and he was even a little concerned about being at the meeting. But during the meeting, I don't remember if I called out high blood pressure or if he just stood up. But I ministered to him, and you know what happened? His blood pressure went to normal. When he got home, his blood pressure was completely normal. He got up the next day, his blood pressure was completely normal. For the next 2 days, without any medication, his blood pressure was completely normal. The rest of the time I was there, his blood pressure was completely normal. God can't fix those things, but we're going to have a full confidence in the Lord. We're going to have a full confidence in God. You take your medicine or you visit your doctor or you do whatever's necessary while you're building your faith. But I want you to press into faith. I want you to believe that God will heal you. Why is this important? Because this is the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must believe in. Here at this church, we must teach. At this church, we must preach. We must demonstrate. We must stir up your faith, challenge you. We must challenge your faith in the healing arena. It's important. We don't have to live like the world. We don't have to do that. Jesus came. He brought something. He paid for something. If he paid for it for me, I want to get it. I want to leave it on the table, not fully accessed. You know, in the Old Testament, it actually says that the Lord rebuked the shepherds in Ezekiel. Is it Ezekiel 34, maybe 36? He rebuked the shepherds because they weren't helping the people get well, because they weren't ministering healing to the people. He rebuked them. We will not be rebuked at Houston Faith Church. We are going to teach and preach and demonstrate healing. And at times, I'm going to challenge you, not with condemnation, no, not at all. There's no shame. There's no condemnation. Come on, but I want you growing your faith. I want you increasing your faith, exercising your faith. I am speaking to Houston Faith Church, aren't I? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So here's a really cool testimony, something that happened at the church service. So Sunday I preached two church services back to back, same church, same message. They wanted the same message. And I preached, I felt like I had a word for them really in season, and it was about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It was about Him being the comforter to us. You know, a lot of people over the last year and a half have really had to tap in or really need to tap in to some comfort. And a comfort is not just sympathy. It's not soulful. It's much greater than that. It's much deeper. The Holy Spirit is our comforter. And it means that He comes alongside us. He jumps in the ditch with us. Come on, He fights our battles with us. And He does this spiritually. It's like He gives us a strength, an ability to hold our head up no matter what's going on, no matter if things aren't perfect. No matter if things haven't happened just like we wanted, He gives us the ability to hold our head up, to be strong in faith, to continue on, to find out that even though this earth life is way, way, way messed up, I'm going to live with God and I'm going to have peace and I'm going to have joy and I'm just going to enjoy, as Pastor says, enjoy the ride as I go. Hallelujah. And so I had ministered the message, and we began to move with the Spirit of the Lord. I think I had prophesied over several people, and the Lord just began to move corporately upon the people. You know, God can do that, absolutely, if we're open. If we want a corporate move, God can move corporately. And I mean, I just knew that God was working. He was working in the hearts of the people. He was working in their lives. I sensed that he was comforting people in a very deep way, that it was almost like he was lacing back up their bootstraps and strapping them up so that they could continue on in their march with God. I knew that God was restoring things. Some people, hope was being restored. Joy was being restored, and God was just moving. You know, some people, different things were going on amongst the crowd. And all of a sudden, I thought, well, I felt I was going to begin to close. You know, time had ended. We were about 20 minutes over time, and I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm sensing with the Lord, maybe I can end. And then I heard the word trapped. 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 And then when I heard the word, it was like trapped, and they feel that they can't get out. And so I'm thinking, okay, now, Lord, you know, what do I do with this? I already knew the Lord was moving corporately. You know, it is the Lord's work. It's not about me at all. It's nothing I do. I'm there just to facilitate. But the Lord was moving. And so in my heart, I was thinking, okay, Lord, is this something that you're doing for somebody? Do I just need to wait and give it a moment? But then I felt like in my heart that I needed to say, and so I said, someone here today feels trapped. I keep hearing the word trapped. Who is it that's trapped and feels like you can't get out? Well, everybody just sat there. I mean, the Lord was still moving, but no one raised their hand, no one came down, nothing. So I waited a few minutes, still working with the Lord. I said it again. I said, who in here today is trapped? Who feels trapped, like they can't get out? Nobody responded. You know, would you lift your hand? Would you, everybody was already standing. Nothing. And so I'm working with the Lord here. I'm working with the Lord. I'm thinking, Lord, do I move on? Because listen, there are times I'll call things out. I hear things. I know things. And people don't respond. There are times that people miss out. Sometimes if we don't respond to the Lord, we do miss out. I woke up one morning years ago, woke up out of a complete sleep, sat up in bed with a word for somebody. And I didn't know all of the word, but I knew a major part of the word. And it was like, I just knew that this was like, it was a word from God. Well, any word from God can change your life. And so I carried that the whole time I was getting dressed that morning. I couldn't wait to get to church to find them to give the word. So I'm looking for them before church, couldn't find them. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe they're going to be late this morning. So I'm up on the podium doing something. I'm looking out in the crowd. Where are they? Where are they? I don't see them. Okay, I'm thinking, well, maybe they're working in some area and I just haven't seen them after church. I'm asking people, have you seen so-and-so? Because I had a word from God, a word from heaven. I mean, God woke me up to give me a word for somebody. And they weren't there. And I said, Lord, no, I didn't like make this up. I mean, you woke me up with a word from them, but you know all things. You knew they weren't going to be here this morning. Why would you give me a word for somebody that wasn't going to be here this morning? And he said, because I just want you to know that people miss out on things by not being in the right place at the right time. And you know what happened? Now, I love my brother. Nothing but the Lord was training me, teaching me. And I saw him the next Wednesday, and the Lord would not let me. Do you know that today, all these years later, he never got that word? This is why we have to respond to the Holy Spirit. We have to have faith in the Holy Spirit. When we sense something in our heart, when we sense to run, we jump up and run. We sense to shout, we jump up and shout. We sense to respond to something that's going up front, we respond. Even if our head doesn't understand it, even though we don't feel like it, I don't want to go in front of people. We respond. Why? Because that's responding to the Lord. The Lord's looking for our agreement. He's looking for our connecting with him. God is a gentleman. He's never going to force his way on us. Said he's waiting for us to connect. So I was working with the Lord here thinking, now, do I let it go? I mean, I'm okay, Lord, they haven't responded. I even said, I said, I know that it's someone here. Maybe it's someone watching by live stream. I'm thinking to the Lord, okay, now, Lord, is this just one of those instances where someone has missed it? And I'm just going to continue on? But all of a sudden, as I was pondering what to do, the compassion of the Lord came upon me. I mean, like in a whole different measure. And I actually began to lean over. The compassion of the Lord was so heavy on me. Tears coming down my eyes. I had to help them get free. Had to help them get free. Even though nobody was responding. I knew there was somebody somewhere in the vicinity, something the compassion of the Lord wouldn't let me move off of it. Now, this is pretty contrary to, because typically I just move on. But the compassion of the Lord, and I just began to lean over, and I was crying and weeping and just, oh, the desire in me to have them get free. And all of a sudden, I just sensed in my heart to make the command for freedom. Even though nobody was responding, nothing seemed to be happening. But I just closed my eyes and I'm thinking, no, this is what faith does. Faith gives the word even when no one responds and doesn't back off of it. Faith allows you to, when everybody's just looking at you and thinking what's going on, faith allows you to maintain your spot with God, sense what's going on in the Holy Spirit, and make a place for something of God to come upon you. There's times when you're with people that you need something of God to come upon you. And if you'll keep your faith in with God of you being able to help them or give them something, God will give you something to help them. And so at this point, I just closed my eyes and I lifted up my voice and I gave a command. I don't remember what the first thing I said was, but I shouted something and then I shouted, "Be loosed in Jesus' name." And that was it. The minute I shouted it, the compassion of the Lord lifted off of me. I looked around and I knew that I was done. Ministry was over. And I looked at the bishop, got him up to come take the meeting. And that was it. And I did that by faith. I did it without seeing. I didn't hear a hand respond. Nobody thank you. Nobody that's me. I just did it by faith. What an exciting life of faith. So the meeting ended. We were taken to the pastor's area and they had provided lunch for us. And we had just begun to eat our lunch. And a lady comes in. I said, lady, she was a young girl. A young girl came in, very odd, really, that in the eating time where it's usually just pastors and ministers and certain people, that somebody comes in. But all of a sudden, I looked up and this girl, young girl, is leaning over and she's saying, can I speak with you? And so I'm kind of perceiving in my heart what to do with the Lord. And the lady that's serving us says, excuse me, you know, we're eating right now. And so just with the Lord, I just thought, you know, if she really wants to talk to me, she'll wait till after I eat. You know, Jesus made them wait. Jesus made them follow him sometimes for 3 days. Why is that? Because faith is desperate. Faith will press in. Faith will remain. Faith will hang on. And so, you know, being honest, in a lot of places like that, there's a lot of people that would like to talk to you, a lot of things they'd like, you know, and you can't do that with everybody at all times. And so that's why I was kind of perceiving with the Lord. And I just said to her, I said, I'll be happy to meet with you as soon as I finish eating, if you don't mind waiting. And so she went out. So I finished eating, and to be honest, I forgot. I didn't think about it again. Until I was sitting there and one of the people said, the girl that came in, she's waiting for you. So I got up, walked out, went down the hall. Now, by this time, she had a young boy with her. And they took us into a back room and there were two chairs. And so I sat down and she sat down. And I asked her, I said, who is this? And she said, this is my brother. He was 10 years old. And so I asked her what her name. Her name was Chelsea and she was 17 years old. And so when we sat down, I looked at her and I said, now, you know, I had been ministering for many hours in the heat. And I'm thinking, okay, Lord, you know, what is she? She looked at me and she said, I was the one that was trapped. But it wouldn't let me get out of my seat. She said it was holding me in my chair. I couldn't move. Now, when she said this, now I began with the Holy Spirit to perceive. Now, where is she at? What is going? Because I knew she was talking about a devil. She had a devil. Not possessed, but a devil that was dealing with her, that had trapped her, wouldn't let her move out of her chair, wouldn't let her respond. So I'm with the Lord. I'm beginning to perceive. Now, where are we at with this? Is the devil still there? What's going on? What's effective ministry to her at this point? And she said, oh, yeah. She said, I tried. I wanted to lift my hand. But it was holding me. She said, wouldn't let me get out of my seat. And she said, but then when you said, be loosed. See, God had me minister to her, even though I didn't know it. She was sitting in the chair. She said, when you said, be loose, she said, it came out. And she did like this. She said, it came out. But it's like it stood in front of me, and she looked at me and she said, now I don't know what to do. And so I, by perceiving with the Lord that I felt she was free, I felt the Spirit had come out. I talked to her for a few minutes. I said, I sensed with the Lord that it was the Spirit that came out. And so I talked to her about the blood of Jesus, the power that's in the blood of Jesus. I said, I'm going to pray for you. Using the blood of Jesus, we're going to seal you. Make sure, and this will close the door so that, because I wanted her to know she didn't have to be fear that it was going to come back. Because if she had fear that it was going to come back, fear would what? Open the door for it to come back. So I just took a few minutes, built her faith in the blood of Jesus, what the blood does. And then I put my hands upon her and I prayed for her and I just sealed that work, that freedom in the blood of Jesus. When I took my hands off of her, I told her, I said, now listen, I said, the Bible says that when things like this happen, when we have something that's afflicted us, bothered us, and it comes out, I said, what happens is we need to be filled with God so that if it looks at you again and takes note, it will see that you're filled with God and there's no room for it. You know, that's a scripture, right? Matthew chapter 12. The Spirit comes out, and then after a little while back, he'll come back to see if the room has been swept clean. And if it's empty, he brings him not only himself back, but seven more of his friends, and the condition is worse than it was before. And so I said, now, you know, part of being filled with God, speaking in tongues, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, I said, have you ever done that? And she said, oh, I've tried to do that for years, but I've never been able to do it. She couldn't do it. She couldn't speak in tongues. You know, I found that many times when people deal with a devil, with an evil spirit, there's something in that, a restriction, and they can't speak in tongues. Why? Because it's so holy. Do you know the holiness of God when you speak in tongues? Do you know that you're not speaking of your own self, that it's actually divine? It's actually the Spirit of God Himself giving utterance through you. And that you're actually speaking to God Himself. It's like in that moment, you have a direct audience with God. Why is that? Because the Holy Spirit is going to pray perfectly. He's not going to pray selfishly. He's not going to pray outside the will of God. He's going to pray perfectly. You have a perfect audience with God. A perfect lifeline with God when you speak in tongues. But if you're dealing with something demonic, if you ever start having an issue with speaking in tongues, you need to realize that you're going to have to break out of that. You can't allow that to remain. If you allow it, it'll get greater and greater until you're completely under the influence of something not of God. And so I told her, I said, well, hey, I said, Jesus said that he'll baptize anybody that wants it in the Holy Spirit. And so I looked over to her brother who had been standing there the whole time, her 10-year-old brother. And I asked him, was he filled with the Spirit? Do you speak in tongues? And he said, no. And so I just led him in the prayer of being filled with the Spirit. And just as soon as she said, freely you give and freely I receive, she opened up her mouth. And I mean, tongues. And tears tears began to just stream down her face. In that moment, the holiness of God came in the room. It was holy. She was being filled and flooded with the measure of God that she'd never had before. And I looked at, I looked at her brother, and her brother was 10, saved at Jesus' heart, worked with him a little bit, but he got it. Praise God. Speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So not only did she get free that day, praise God, she got free. Hallelujah. But why? Why? Because I had faith in God. I had faith in the Holy Spirit. I had faith in what I was hearing from God. I had faith in what was happening on the inside of me when everything around me and everything on the outside looks contrary to that. I had faith. We must have faith. We must have faith in the Word. Absolutely. We must have faith in the Word. We must know the Word. We must pursue the Word. We must love the Word. We must go after the Word. We must confess the Word. We must meditate the Word. We must get the Word in our heart, because it's not about just getting it in your head. It's not about knowing something up here. Faith comes from our heart. It's a heart issue. And so that's why the Bible says we have to guard our heart. We have to guard our ear gate. We have to guard our eyes from things that we're hearing, from things that we're seeing, things that we're saying. We have to stay in tune with God. We have to stay in line with the Word of God. The Word of God is still alive today. The Word of God is still sharp and powerful today. The Word of God today can help you separate your soul. That's going to lead you into all kinds of stuff that's not right, and pull you back to the truth of the Word. The Word today has the power in it to do what it says. The Word itself has the power in it. It's alive. It's God's breathed Word. So when you say that Word from your heart, it carries the power in it to do what it says. And we must have faith in the Holy Spirit. We must know Him. We must embrace Him. We must work with Him. We must get familiar and comfortable with how He moved. What if I had not known that it was compassion that came upon me? What if I had not yielded myself to that? It was from the place of compassion that the command of release came. We have to be pursuing the Holy Spirit, a life in the Holy Spirit, moving with the Holy Spirit, responding to the Holy Spirit, yielding to the Holy Spirit, in line with what we know of God, because it's the Holy Spirit that gives us the specifics of life, guides us into what is our inheritance. Well, you know what? Healing is our inheritance, praise God. Deliverance is our inheritance, praise God. Come on, freedom is our inheritance, praise God. Come on, wellness is our inheritance, praise God. Peace is our inheritance, praise God. Joy is our inheritance, praise God. Absolutely. The Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you into what you need, into the pathway, so that you can stand in the fullness of your inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but things like this, these things excite me. These things, it's because this is God. This is what it is to have a life with God. And these things, like I said, they're not just reserved for preachers. This is what we do as believers. We carry the name of Jesus. We carry the blood of Jesus, faith in the Word, faith in the Spirit, and we help people everywhere we go. Everywhere we go, we're a blessing, just looking to do good to people, just to have a word for somebody, an encouragement for somebody, just to minister life to somebody, just to bring healing to somebody, deliverance to somebody, hope to somebody, to bring them out of discouragement, to bring them out of disappointment. Who's going to do that? The Red Cross can't do that. Who's going to help their bodies get well? The Red Cross can't do that. Thank God for the Red Cross and what they do, but they are not the body of Christ. We carry something. We carry God. We carry the anointing of God. We carry the power of God. We carry the glory of God. And it's time, rather than sitting back and waiting on something to happen, that we just get hungry enough and bold enough to step out in faith, in this exciting life of faith that our head doesn't know, our head can't understand, and just make things happen. It's time to make things happen. I'm talking about making things happen with our faith. With our faith, faith reaches. Faith doesn't just sit back and just wait. Faith reaches. Faith is in the more. Faith is, I'm going to grab it. I'm going to grab it all. Remember one time I was praying. We had a corporate prayer time. This was one time in January at the beginning of the year. But this is a good illustration to me. And I remember I was sitting and we were praying something corporately about the church. And all of a sudden, I just felt my faith like connect, like I could just grab some things out of heaven, out of the realm of the spirit. You know, everything we already need, want is right there. It's already been done. Jesus has already bought it. He's already paid for it. He's already provided for it. It's getting the reality of it, the manifestation of it out of the spirit realm into the natural realm. And that's what faith does. Now faith is the substance of the thing we've been wanting or hoping or knowing is there. Now faith pulls it in. And so I was sitting there in the chair and I just felt my faith like connect, that there were things that God wanted to give the church. And I didn't even know all what they were. But I was sitting in my chair and I just began to reach up. It's like I reached up and I began like this. I grab some and throw it in here. Grab some and throw it in here. Now, first of all, I was responding to something I sensed to do. I wasn't making something up, but I could have just sat in my chair and thought, oh, yeah, that's really great. Oh, I hope that gets in here. No, because as I was reaching, it's like my faith, boom. And as I was doing that, all of a sudden, an angel came to assist me in getting what I needed out of heaven into the earth. I had started out with one hand, and before you know it, I was using both hands. It was like there was so much of God that he wanted to give that I felt like I couldn't get it all. And so I was using both of my hands, and I was grabbing up into the spirit realm and pulling things down. And I was like, I can't get it all. And then the angel showed up. It was glorious. But our faith has to reach. Our faith has to want. Our faith has to desire. We can't get complacent. We can't think it's all up to God. We can't think there's no more. We can't think I've seen enough, experienced enough, had enough. Listen, I believe that whatever God is, of whatever measure of God you've seen, had, experienced, it's just to whet your appetite to know that there's more. Go for more. Cause your faith to reach for more. Want more. Desire more. And of course, you know what really tells about your desire is your prayer life. If you aren't praying about it, and I'm talking about intensely praying about it, wanting it, I mean, getting in the presence of God and God, I'm going to have, then you don't really desire it. You might think, oh, you might be tricking yourself. But when you really have a heart desire, I mean, when you're really desperate for something, you're going to find yourself contending for it. I mean, I'm contending until I know I've reached heaven, until I've got it. I'm contending for it. I'm going to stay on my knees And I'm not just praying just casually, just, what are you praying about? Oh, I don't know what I'm praying. Oh, I know what I'm praying about. I know what I'm praying. I might not know the hows and the specifics, but I know what I'm praying about. I'm praying that more of God in this area. I'm praying for an answer in this. I'm praying for a healing in this. I'm praying it. I'm contending. I'm believing. Come on. I mean, I'm pulling. I'm being persistent. God, I'm not letting go till I see it. This is what it's going to take in the last days for us, the church, to see what we need to see, want to see, and should see. Come on, this is a kingdom where the violent take it by force. We're going to have to take some things by force. We can't be casual and sit back and go the way of the world and just play around with church and come in and just, oh, let's sing a few songs. Let's hear a good message. I'm not satisfied with that. I'm not satisfied till everybody in here encounters God in some way. Man, I went out today and I am not the same. Today I got a revelation. Today I got a healing. Today I encountered God. Today something more God deposited in me. This is who we are. This is what we're going for. This is why we're remnant. This is why we will see revival. Not just in some blow in and blow out. I'm talking about revival every time I come. This is what God wants for us, but it's by faith. It's not just all up to God. He partners with us. Hallelujah. And I'm just determined that the more days I walk, just the bolder I'm going to get. Really, really, if there's ever been a time that the church needs to look different than the world, it's right now. Because I tell you what, the world has finally figured out, they might not admit it, but they finally figured out that they don't have all the answers. They finally figured out that they don't know how to fix it all. They don't have the right organizations. They don't have the right formulas. They don't have the right what. But I tell you what, we got it. We got it. We got the answers. We got the formulas. We got the solutions. We've got the wisdom. We've got the power. We've got the knowledge. We've got it all. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God. And it's time that we stir our faith for that. We need to go further. We need to reach further. We need to expect more. We need to make a change, make a decision to change something. Today I'm changing something. Today I'm going out of here and something's changing. Today I've decided I'm going to pray more. Today I've decided I'm going to fast more. Fast more? How about just fasting? Let me just tell you a little story. Years ago, a minister, she's a very famous minister. If I said her name, you would know her. At her church, she was creating a prayer group, and the goal of the prayer group was to pray specifically about salvations, to open up the hearts of the people in their city. And so what they would do is they would gather together, I think it was for an hour, to pray. And then after that hour, they would go out together, that same group of people, because they were hungry, because they were passionate about winning souls, because they understood what it was like for people to be living in darkness and not in the light. They understood that people were destined for hell. And they had a desire in their heart to see that change. So they gave their stuff over. And so they would come together and they would pray, and then they would go out somewhere to preach and to minister. And they were expecting, because their hearts were connected with God, that they were going to see things, that they were going to see salvations, that they were going to see healings and miracles. We don't go after just the souls of men. Go after their bodies. When they have an encounter in their body with God, huh? And she said they were praying and they were going out, but they weren't really seeing the results that she thought they ought to be seeing. And so she was seeking the Lord. She was asking the Lord about it. Well, that's a point right there. If you're not seeing the results that you think you ought to be seeing, you do have to press in. Wait on God. Get an answer. But don't give up. Don't stop. And she, her words to the Lord were, Lord, we're a Book of Acts church, and we're expecting to see things like in the Book of Acts when we go out. And I don't understand why we're not seeing. You know, we're praying, we're believing, we're confessing. This was weekly they were meeting. Weekly. And the Lord spoke something to her. This is what he said. He said, if you want to see the same results as the Book of Acts, he said, you're going to have to do the same thing that the disciples in the Book of Acts, that the early church in the Book of Acts did. He said, you're only doing half of the equation. You're only praying. He said, when you start praying and fasting, then you'll see the results you want. Come on, the desire for spiritual things, it has to take precedence. And so you know what she did? She made the adjustment. She went back to the group. She said, "This, we're going to fast and pray. So now every day that we meet, on the day that we meet, it's also fasting day. So everybody come. When we come together to pray, everybody's going to have fasted." You know what happened? After 2 weeks, they started blowing the doors open to people's hearts. And the number of salvations and healings and deliverances. And you know what happened with those people? They started pouring in the church. God increased the church. How bad do we want it? What do we want? What do we want? What is your heart latched onto? I'm talking about even just more than just yourself and your family. What is your heart latched onto for Houston Faith Church? What is your heart latched onto for the kingdom of God? What is your heart latched onto? The impact that we can make in the city. What is your heart connected to? What do you find yourself on your face before God for? What do you find yourself praying about? Fasting about? Telling God, I've got to see this. I've got to see this. I've got to see this. Can I have the band come up? What is it? If it's nothing, you need to get something. Where are the people that want to show up with Mike? How long have you been praying, Mike? 8 years? 9 years? He's been praying 8 years, 9 years. If he used to do it Monday through Thursday, and then Karen picked up Tuesdays, praise God. But now Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, he prays every morning at 6 or 6:15. He comes up here, gets in the room. Contending for God. Where are the people that want to pray for revival? Where are the people that want to pray and give more? Where are the people that want to wake up early, lose some sleep? Where are those people? God is looking for such a people. If we want more, we're going to have to give more. We're going to have to tap into something more. We're going to have to desire more. I want revival. I want us when we go up, God to say, you fulfilled your destiny. We did our part. We have a responsibility in the city to people to know that there's a place where they can go, where they're going to radically believe God for you, and you will get well. Hopefully you get well on time number one, but if not, you come back and we'll get you on time number two. And if it doesn't work on time number two, no problem at all. We still got faith. We still know that God is God. He is still the healer. Nothing is too big for him. Nothing is too hard for him. We will work it out with the Lord until you get what you need, or your breakthrough, or your turnaround.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.